Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
All right, so I have a. I did a little research today for the show.
Okay.
And I went and I looked, and I looked at the four teams that are still left in the postseason, and I thought about the volatility of the NFL postseason. That on a normal year, half the teams change in the playoffs. More than any other sport, there is playoff postseason volatility in the NFL, in large part because there's only 16 games, so there's a lot more randomness built in than a 162-game or an 82-game season in baseball or basketball.
Right.
So, and in this season alone, I think this season, like 8 out of the 12 teams are different teams in the postseason than were last season. A majority of the teams this year that were in the postseason to start the postseason were not in the postseason last year. So I started thinking about these final four teams, and in a season where there is the chalk playing, the one seed versus the two seed in each conference, I'm going to myself, okay, well, I can't envision any of these four teams not being in the postseason.
I still can't, even after the stat you're about to give us.
Yeah, so I thought about that. You know, I started to think about, okay, who are the teams that may not be in the postseason next year of the 12 teams that made it? My fear is we live in a city where it could be one of them here because of the so many fixes that the Texans need, how many close games they won this year, their turnover margin.
The upgraded schedule.
Like, the Texans check a lot of boxes for regression for next year. We'll put that off to the shelf, though, right now. That's not what I teased into this segment. This has more to do with the four teams that are still left. And I started thinking about, okay, well, what were we thinking about the four teams that were still left last year? Four teams that were still left last year at this time, heading into this weekend, were Philadelphia, Minnesota, the 1 and 2 seeds, I believe, in the NFC, and New England and Jacksonville, the 1 and I think the 3 seeds in the AFC last year, because Jacksonville went on the road and beat Pittsburgh in the divisional round.
So you had two of those four teams that didn't make it, right?
Yeah, but this time last year, we're thinking, wow, these are teams that are going to be good again next year. They were among the favorites going into the season this year, Philadelphia, Minnesota, New England, and Jacksonville. And what happened? Two of the four didn't make the postseason, Minnesota and Jacksonville. Jacksonville missed badly. They went 5-11. Minnesota changed quarterbacks. They went backwards from 13-3 to, I think, 8-7-1 or 9-6-1. It was 8-7-1 because the Eagles snuck in at 9-7. So the Eagles barely made the postseason. They needed help to get into the postseason. And so I'm thinking, man, I get it that it's volatile, the 12 teams that make the postseason, but man, is it that volatile among the teams that are perceived to be the elite teams, the four teams that make the conference title games? And as it turns out, the answer is yes. Going back to 1995.
It's a long way.
Which is the first season of expansion to Carolina and Jacksonville, expansion to 30 teams from 28 to 30. 1995 was the last time that we had a season in which the last four teams standing all made the postseason the next year. Every season since then, at least one, and in many seasons, two or three, didn't make the postseason. It didn't make the playoffs the following year, which to me is, I find that to be incredible. The volatility of the postseason as a whole, those 12 teams, is remarkable. Don't get me wrong.
And we know how much the league in the last couple of decades has become a league where things can change dramatically from year to year.
This is 2 decades worth of teams, you know, in an era where we've had great quarterbacks, a lot of great quarterbacks, and quarterback play is usually what dictates things. So you just mentioned it, Rich. Two of the four from last year didn't make this year's postseason, the Vikings and the Jags. Just to go back into the recent history a little bit, the year before that, the four postseason teams were Atlanta, Green Bay, New England, and Pittsburgh. Green Bay didn't make it the following season, but I think that was only because Aaron Rodgers got hurt the next year. So we may have come a little bit close that season if Rodgers stays healthy. The year before that, the final four teams standing were Carolina and Arizona. That was the Cam Newton MVP season. Carolina and Arizona in the NFC.
What happened after that MVP.
And then Denver and New England in the AFC. That was Peyton Manning's final season. Three of the four teams didn't make the postseason the next year. New England, obviously, the only one because they make the postseason nearly every year that Bill Belichick is the head coach there with Tom Brady as his quarterback. 2002 in 2008, and even that year, Brady wasn't the quarterback. He got hurt. Every year, New England seems to make it and make it to the title game, in this decade at least, the conference title game as well. So
you're working your way up to a very tough question.
My question is this, and you guys can pick who goes first. I have mine in mind already, but I'll let you guys go first. Of the four teams that play this weekend, history tells us going back to 1995 that one of these four teams, the Chiefs, the Patriots, the Saints, and the Rams, are not even going to make the playoffs next year. Which of the four teams will it be? Go first, whoever wants to go first.
Clint, go right ahead if you've got a thought.
I think they would all four make it if all four quarterbacks play next year. So along those lines, I'm going to say that there's going to be one of the two 40 pluses retires, and that team doesn't make it next year. And I'm going to go out on a limb, and I'm going to say that it's going to be Tom Brady.
Patriots.
Wouldn't that be something?
The Patriots don't. I think that's as good a handicap as any of this situation.
That makes sense, but I just can't go there with Belichick.
I'm with you. As much as I believe in the culture, the chemistry, you look at what they've got behind him. If they still had
Garoppolo.
Yep. I'd go, you know, they may just pull a Saban and reload now. But I just think Brady's such an integral part of that. Now, I don't know what's going to happen, obviously, but I just think those two young teams with that offensive firepower, you know, it's a lot like the Rockets here with Hart. Do I think that they make the playoffs? Absolutely, with that kind of offense. Do I think they can win it? It's going to be a long shot. But with that offense, you're going to be in the playoffs.
Yeah, for purposes of this, you just got to make the postseason.
Yeah, you're going to make the postseason.
Hoyer's the backup right now?
Yes. Hoyer's the backup right now.
Yeah, that's as good a handicap as any, because these are four really solid teams, four really well-coached teams. These might be the four best head coaches in football. And obviously, quarterback is not a major issue for any of these four.
Right. And Drew is playing at such a, and not that Brady's not, but Drew is playing at such a high level. I feel like Brady's just kind of driving the boat, and Breeze is out there just getting it. I mean, he is killing it. He's still playing like he's 25 years old.
And he's got 25 million reasons to come back.
Sure.
But, you know, Brady needs the money or anything like that, but Breeze signed a two-year, $50 million contract. Yeah. So he's going to make a ton of money.
Well, I just think, you know, Breeze looks at it. I think they've done him and Sean Payton have done a really good job. I really believe that they've got a great relationship, and I don't know who the catalyst of that relationship is. But I think they've got a relationship, one of which can last, where I think Belichick is cut from that Parcells cloth where, man, it just irks you. You know what I mean? Like, yes. I just don't know how. Like, I'm sure he's a great guy, but when you play for him every day, that's got to get old. And at some point in time, Brady's going to go, hey, man, I'm through with this. I'm over this.
Oh, it's going to happen. I just don't know if it's anytime soon.
Breeze can make a late run here, too, in his career, because he's still playing at a high level. He plays in an offense that's very friendly to staying healthy.
Got a lot of weapons.
Got a lot of youth on the team. Has a head coach that he vibes with perfectly. I think he's still, safe to say, he still has a few good years left. You never know what happens after 40. We'll see. But I think Breeze has a chance too, if he's worried, you know, not worried, but if legacy is a big deal to him, he's got a chance to make a late run here. I don't think he's going to make a run at Brady necessarily. I mean, he'd have to win a couple more Super Bowls, but he's got a chance to make a run to where he's sort of a no-brainer top five all-time quarterback.
Yeah. No doubt.
I don't think he's I think he might be a top five quarterback. He wins one, say, this year. He tacks another one on a year or two from now. All of a sudden, he's got three Super Bowls, maybe gets an MVP along the way. Now, all of a sudden, you're talking about Breeze alongside Manning for sure, maybe surpassing a few other guys who are in that, you know, surpassing Brett Favre and maybe a few other names we could sprinkle in there. That may matter to him.
If this was sort of a prop bet and you put up numbers for all four teams, likelihood that they'll be the team that misses the playoffs, and you also give the bettor a fifth option that – all of them make the playoffs.
Oh yeah,
next year the streak ends.
Yeah,
after this one, that's the option I would take.
You take Field.
I would take Field because I have a really, really tough time thinking that any of these teams are not going to make the playoffs next year. Now I realize the history that you just invoked, and the chances seem to be, the trends are telling us it's going to happen again.
Yeah.
But I still think the chalk pick would be all four of them making the playoffs. If I'm going to attempt to answer your question, there's no way I can pick against the Chiefs or the Patriots, and I probably can't pick against Sean McVay and Jared Goff either.
You know, hey, Rich, the one good thing about the Rams, though, you mentioned there, they struggled in the second half of the season.
They did.
So,
I mean,
you know, there's a...
I know, but they've also got to keep Tlaib back, and they've also got C.J. Anderson doing stuff that we haven't seen before.
How about that story?
Unbelievable. So your pick is the Saints.
If I had to make a pick, and I don't feel comfortable about it because...
Look, we all understand these are four good teams.
Right. Yeah. Well, but I mean, specifically, since Alvin Kamara and Michael Thomas came aboard, the Saints, not coincidentally, have won 11 and 13 games in back-to-back seasons.
Yep.
But prior to that, the Saints were 7-9 3 years in a row.
They were.
They've only made the playoffs three times, or I guess with making it this year, they've made the playoffs four times in the last 7 years. So I don't even know why I'm citing that, but I'm trying to find a rationale for why I'm picking the Saints, and I guess it'll be because not that long ago, they weren't making the playoffs.
With Breeze and Peyton as the QB and head coach.
Exactly.
You know, the Rams weren't making the playoffs all that long ago either, but their coach was Jeff Fisher and their quarterback was Case Keenum.
Yeah.
You know, so mine would be the Rams. And I think if you look at the recent trend, the thing that all these teams have in common that have missed the playoffs the following year is some sort of degradation in their quarterback play, whether it's through injury or whether it's through just a regression at the position. Minnesota took a step backwards because Kirk Cousins wasn't as good as Case Keenum was last year. Jacksonville took a step backwards because Blake Bortles went from being average to abjectly horrible this year. The year before, Aaron Rodgers gets hurt. Green Bay doesn't make it. The year before that, Cam Newton regresses. He's not the MVP anymore. They miss the playoffs. Arizona has injuries at the position. Carson Palmer gets hurt. They miss the playoffs. Peyton Manning retires. Denver misses the playoffs. The year before that, the team that missed it from 2014, the only team that missed was Indianapolis. Well, that was the year where Luck started to get banged up and hurt his shoulder. The year before that, San Francisco was the one team that missed the playoffs after Kaepernick took them to the Super Bowl and the NFC title game. Well, what happened? The league started to figure out Kaepernick, and they went 8-8 that year. You could go on and on. Flacco doesn't have four great games in a row like he did in the postseason. Eli doesn't have four magical games in a row. Regression at the quarterback position, to me, is the biggest thing in recent times, and if I look at these four quarterbacks, assuming they all play, and I think your retirement play with Clint is a really, really smart way to look at the possibility. I hadn't thought about that. I'm assuming all four come back. If I'm going to pick one of these four quarterbacks to regress, it's no question it's Jared Goff. He, to me, is the clear number four black sheep out of these four quarterbacks, and they didn't play well the second half of the season. And I think, too, this Sean McVay, I think he's a fantastic coach. This whole thing, though, where he's being propped up as some sort of wunderkind, where he's just changing the league and anybody that he coughs on becomes a great head coach, this feels like a dot-com bubble that's going to blow up, and we're going to be talking about it 9 months from now in the middle of the season when the Rams are 4-5 for some reason. Did the league get in all in too soon on Sean McVay? So I say Rams.
Well, everybody's talking about Sean McVay, the schemer, and not giving the guy credit for just being a great leader of men and being able to relate to men, guys from all walks of life. I mean, that's why.
And all age groups.
Right. And that's why that guy's special. That's why Sean Payton's special. They are great offensive minds, but I mean, great offensive minds. People start figuring you out. What do you like to do? How do you scheme? And they take your top two or three things away from you, and then it brings you back down to the pack. They all do. You mentioned teams figured out Harbaugh and Kaepernick, brought them back down to the pack. Philly didn't have as big a year this year offensively, although they were pretty damn good. I don't think they had a year this year that they had the year before. People start figuring out these new head coaches, these new quarterbacks, and what they like to do. Add this to the bunch. If you say it's a quarterback regressing, I agree with you. It's Jared Goff. If you say one getting injured, I think it's Mahomes and the style of play that he
that's a good call.
That he lives with every Sunday. And then retirement,
Brady.
One of the two. I think you could even add in there that I don't know the contract situation for Sean Payton, but believe this, if Jerry Jones and the Dallas Cowboys make a move, they're going to go after Sean Payton. And if the Saints lose are out of that.
For sure. And Sean, if I were to counter your argument about Goff and the Rams, I would point out that if the Rams moving forward through next season are going to continue doing what they're doing with this two-headed monster of Gurley and Anderson, they're not relying on Jared Goff to win games for them.
CJ Anderson has a better chance of being out of the league in week three next year. I think this is one of those magical things.
It's a big if, but I'm saying if this two-headed monster is the way they're headed for the next season, then they're not going to need Goff to be that guy.
Yeah, I agree with you. All you had to do is say Gurley. Like, Gurley's the best running back in the league. So whoever the second back is with Gurley, he's going to be right physically next year, and he'll be getting 25 touches a game again. So that's a fair point. They put less on Goff's plate than maybe these other teams do in terms of relying on him. But I do think that eventually in the NFL, you need to rely on your quarterback to make plays. Not all the games are going to play out like the game did against the Cowboys last week, where they get a 20-0 lead or whatever it was, or 20-7 lead, and they can just lean on that. Ultimately, they have to rely on Goff at times, and Goff can get a little careless with the football and a little deer struck, like deer in the headlights at times.
Yeah, for sure. No doubt about it.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.